Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're visiting, as we have the privilege of being each week, with Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia, our economic and national security interests there, and what's happening that is likely to impinge on one or both. It is a delight to have him, one of the people that we turn to, of course, but so do others. He is a columnist for the Daily Beast, frequent guest at Fox News, the author of two terrific books, The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Gordon, welcome back. Good to have you as always.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, lots of things to talk about. Let's start with the latest out of North Korea, Gordon. The South Koreans, of course, as we've discussed in recent weeks, have been responding to a sort of charm offensive, I guess you might call it, by the North. This is taking place most immediately in the context of the Olympics. What's the latest on that front?
Yesterday, Sunday, a famous North Korean singer, who, by the way, is a colonel in the North Korean army, crossed over the demilitarized zone with six other members of her advance team. She's planning events at the Winter Olympics by her art troupe, which is 140 people. By the way, that's small. The North Koreans are sending 230 cheerleaders to the Winter Olympics. In addition, there's going to be a Taekwondo demonstration team and others. There's going to be a cast almost of thousands of North Koreans.
Cecil B. DeMille. How many of them are intelligence operatives, would you guess, Gordon Chang?
You know, certainly there's going to be a number of them. They're probably not going to learn too much. What they're going to be is a lot of security personnel making sure that the other North Koreans do not defect. If one of them defects, it becomes a major incident for the Kim regime, and it becomes a major test for South Korea. Because if South Korea returns the defector, it really means that Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president, is on the other side. But if it keeps the defector, as it should, that would be something, because that will put the North Koreans on the back foot.
Now, we're told that there are going to be unified, at least one unified team with the North Koreans marching under some unification banner. Gordon, obviously, this is symbolism, but is it ominous in that it sounds as though President Moon, who many of us have thought is on the other side, is now beginning to be more, patently so?
This is actually, in general, a good news story for the United States and the international community. Now, the North and South Korean athletes, and there are very few, actually, North Korean athletes in the Games, but the few North Korean athletes will march with their South Korean counterparts under a unified flag. It's basically an outline of the Korean peninsula on a white field, and it has been used before, for instance, in the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney. What is for the first time, however, is that North and South Koreans will participate on the same team. It's the women's ice hockey team. Now, although more than 80% of the South Korean electorate wants North Korea to participate in the Olympics, more than 70% of South Koreans do not want this unified team. And the reason is that South Korean athletes who have trained for many years to be on the team have been turfed off to make room for the North Koreans. This has created outrage, not only among the athletes and the Korea Ice Hockey Association, but it's created outrage throughout society. And it's not just the conservatives who oppose Moon. It's also a large portion of Moon's base, the youngest South Korean voters, which means long-term, this is a good story for the U.S. because it means South Korean nationalism is now stronger than Korean nationalism. And that's a really bad thing for President Moon.
Yeah. Gordon, let me turn to one other development that involves communist China. And you and I have discussed, it seems, for several years now, the inexorable advance of Chinese control of the South China Sea through the construction of and then arming of these man-made islands dotting it. One of them is in the Scarborough Shoals, and the USS Hopper, an American naval warship, did a freedom of navigation drill through those waters recently. Tell us about that and how the Chinese responded.
Yeah. On Saturday, China really went full bore against the United States because on the preceding Wednesday, the USS Hopper, which is an Arleigh Burke, went within 12 nautical miles of Scarborough Shoal. Scarborough Shoal is 124 nautical miles west of the main Philippine island of Luzon. Generally thought to be part of the Philippines. China seized it in early 2012. That was a failure of the Obama administration. Now, this exercise on Wednesday
which did not essentially respond to that provocation.
Well, it's even worse than that because Kurt Campbell at the State Department actually brokered a deal between Manila and Beijing for both sides to withdraw their craft from Scarborough. They had swarmed the shoal in early 2012. Only the Philippines complied, leaving the Chinese in control, and the U.S. did nothing about it. This is the Sudetenland on a smaller scale. Now, the Trump administration is compounding the error. They said that Wednesday's exercise was an innocent passage. An innocent passage is an acknowledgement that Scarborough Shoal is Chinese. This is horrible. Although maybe not as bad as what the Obama administration did in 2012, it is also feeble. And so, you know, Frank, I don't think that China's takeover of the South China Sea is inexorable by any means, but it is inexorable if there is atrocious policy on the part of successive American administrations. And indeed, that's the case right now. We do not have the United States opposing China with the vigor that is necessary. And that is not just an Obama problem. It's a Trump problem as well. Now, I know there are a lot of problems in the world that the Trump administration needs to deal with, but we're the United States of America, we're the guarantors of security, and we're letting the international system fall apart. So this is not a story of Chinese aggression. Yeah, the Chinese are aggressive. This is primarily a story of American feebleness.
And Gordon, just to be complete here, what was the nature of the full bore response by China to this action, innocent passage, as you say, rather than freedom of navigation?
Well, China said it was a violation of their territorial and sovereignty, which you could expect. They said we did not ask for permission. We don't need permission, whether an innocent passage or whatever. We did not need to ask the Chinese, even if Scarborough Shoal were theirs, and it's not, most definitely not theirs. You know, what the United States needs to do is to take an Arleigh Burke, perhaps supported by others, and go within 12 nautical miles of Scarborough Shoal with our targeting radar on, in other words, something that's incompatible with an innocent passage, to declare that Scarborough is not Chinese. And this is a responsibility of the U.S. And Frank, this is not just Trump officials. There's a problem at the top of the U.S. Navy. You have many flag officers who've taken position that essentially the United States is not going to effectively challenge China. You know, fortunately, we have the commander of Pacific Command, Admiral Harris, who's taken a very resolute view on this, but he is only one flag officer in a large Navy. We need other officers who also will challenge China to the full extent of our capabilities.
Amen. And we need them to be equipped as well as led to do just that. Gordon Chang, thank you so much for your time today. As always, we look forward to visiting with you next week. In the meantime, stay well, my friend, and keep up the good work you do at the Daily Beast and elsewhere. I hope the rest of you will join us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.